Thank you, Honduras team, and thank you for my own experience being part of this group. I got a chance to be part of the 28 that went, and it was just an awesome experience. We serve an awesome God. That is an awesome team, and amazing things happen there indeed. In fact, when they showed that picture of the new church building, I didn't expect it. I just goosebumps. Just, it's incredible. And on your behalf, I had the joy of presenting that plaque to Pastor Nelson Rivera there in El Nunez, Honduras. And I'll tell you, they know, as you heard, they know how to celebrate God. I couldn't believe it. They dance, they sing like lots, and they made us feel, to borrow a term, like the frozen chosen, but we got in the groove after a while, and it was all cool, and you just had to make sure, yeah, you didn't bump into anybody. But you know what? What they helped me understand, you know, is we always, if we're, anything that has to do with God, we ought to celebrate with zeal. Amen? And I'm so glad that we get to this morning celebrate. Welcome once again to our summer celebration service. I look forward to this service every year, and it is so awesome because we celebrate God first and foremost. We also get a chance to celebrate what He has done in the life of Trinity over the course of the year, the Honduras team being but one highlight of all that He's doing here. And we get to celebrate, in just a moment, we get to celebrate what He has done in the lives of five individuals who are going to be baptized this morning. I'm so excited for them as well, and I'm excited for us that we get to be part of it and witness it. Celebration is something that we humans like to do, isn't it? We give us any excuse, we'll do it. And I would define celebration as this. It is an occasion of joy because of an event that gave rise to it. An occasion of joy based on an event that gave rise to it. And so we do these things. We celebrate these events, right? Birth of a baby, graduation, weddings, holidays, promotions, new jobs, right? We do that. Sports teams' victories. I mean, we'll take any excuse we can to throw a party and celebrate because something good happens and it causes us joy, and so we celebrate. Let me ask you a question. What does heaven celebrate? What do you think heaven celebrates? And let me say it a little bit more precisely in view of our text this morning. What causes heaven to rejoice? You ever think about that? Do you know the Bible actually has an answer to that? Talks about that? In fact, I only have a few brief moments today to look into it, but it's found in Luke 15. If you've got your Bibles, pull it out. If you don't, that's okay. We'll have the verses up on the slide. And let me read the first 10 verses. Let me kind of give you a little bit of context. In chapter 15 of Luke, Jesus shares three parables, and they're all really, really similar themes. In fact, one of them, I won't have time to be able to go through it today, but the third one is a long one. It's my favorite in all of Scripture, and it's the parable of the prodigal son. The first two parables are really short, so I will read those, but you'll see something common in these parables. You see that something is lost, then something is found. As a fellow pastor I know once pointed out, he said, then you see celebration in all three. In fact, precisely, you'll see rejoicing or celebration, which is functionally, right, the same kind of thing. They're synonymous. Let me read verses 1 through 10. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. They're speaking of Jesus, okay? So now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Let me just pause right there. Hang out. Let's go back to that verse. I just want to celebrate a moment here, okay? Isn't it awesome that Jesus receives sinners? You see two types of people. We've been looking at these people in Matthew. You see the tax collectors and sinners, what do? They draw near to Jesus. The religious elite, the people who are trusting in their own righteousness to make themselves acceptable to God, they're kind of standing, they're grumbling, which is weird. And in the midst of this, we see something about Jesus receives sinners. That's the heart. This one who receives sinners later is going to die for sinners, including you and me. I'm reminded of a movie I saw with my son. It's called Do You Believe? It's a Christian movie. It was great. And in the movie, there's a guy who's dying. And presumably at some point in his life, he had put his faith and trust in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And I love this line. He's talking to somebody. He's facing death with total confidence. And he says this word. He says, Jesus has a soft spot for sinners. He has a soft spot for sin. Enough that God sent his son to die for us. Yes, sin has consequences. And until and unless somebody puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there is no hope. But the beautiful thing is, in the midst of our sinful world, Jesus came. And when he came, he brought hope. And so he's going to respond to these Pharisees in these next few verses. And in the midst of that, in these two parables, we see the answer to what causes heaven to rejoice. Let's continue. Verses 3 through 10, he says, "So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." What does heaven celebrate? The answer is there in verses 7 and 10. Heaven rejoices when the lost are found, when even one sinner repents. Heaven rejoices when the lost are found, when even one sinner repents. Even at the level of a single person, even at the level of you, Jesus is a shepherd. He's willing to leave the 99 to go after the one. Jesus is a rescue. You notice that rescue of that one sheep. That's what Jesus had to do. God had to do the rescue mission. So Jesus rescues. Sinners repent. Heaven rejoices. Repentance by a sinner leads to rejoicing in heaven. Now, when he talks about the righteous there, it doesn't necessarily mean that there are people walking out there that don't need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus, right? I think it's Romans 3:10, right, that says, none is righteous. No, not one. Not in the ultimate sense of being acceptable to God. No, we need to come to faith in Jesus Christ, through which alone we become justified, declared righteous. And there's a call to repentance in Scripture. And we see he talks about repentance here. What is repentance? It's a changing of one's mind. You see yourself differently. The sinner sees themselves as a sinner. They see their need for a Savior. They see God and Jesus Christ different. And it changes everything. And they're willing to turn from that old life in order to do a 180 to turn to God. We know in view of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we're saved through faith. But theologians will tell you at a conversion, faith and repentance kind of two sides of the same coin. In other words, it's through faith we are saved. Through faith we are justified. But it's a repentant faith. It assumes a heart that's willing to turn to God. And so as Christians, we are those who look to Jesus as our Savior. And we don't want to be friends with our sins anymore. We are now, it's now our enemy. There's a 180. And so he talks about repentance here. When the lost are found, sinners come to repentance, heaven rejoices. Let me ask you just two questions before we go into our time of baptism. Do you rejoice in what heaven rejoices in? In other words, do you really know how to celebrate what matters celebrating? Do you rejoice in what heaven rejoices in? See, we get to do that today. Today we get to celebrate. We get to rejoice together what God has been doing this year. All sorts of highlights I'd love to share in our church. So you'll see it in the annual report later on in the congregational business meeting if you're a member here at the church next month. But just a couple things. In addition to what happened in Honduras, there's so much we could share. We've had many first-time professions of faith and in rededications to faith in our Trinity Kids and United Ministry. Once again this year, we see people being reached for Christ. It's incredible. Cindy's been telling me about that. I myself have personally witnessed about a half dozen or so people, ranging from kids to adults, in the past 14 months profess faith in Jesus. We have, as was mentioned, a grassroots partnership with Faith Baptist Church, an inner city church in South Bend, and it's burgeoning. I'm excited about it. And their heart, because I met with them, they don't just want to feed people. They want the lost to be found. They want the very kind of thing that causes heaven to rejoice. We helped launch a new couple onto the mission field, Brady and Jessica Melser. Brady grew up here at the church. And if you meet that couple, I hope you do, because they have such a zeal to reach the lost, so much so they're in Africa right now doing that. We baptized folks last year, and we get to baptize 5 individuals today, actually technically 6, because there's a fellow who's severely handicapped, a guy named Christian Williams. We have the joy, Lord willing, of baptizing him here at the church. He couldn't make it today, baptizing him at 1:30 on Tuesday here at the church. So there's really technically 6 people getting baptized. It is awesome. When things happen, when the lost are found, when sinners come to repentance, heaven rejoices. By the way, I agree with this guy named Walter Liefeld. I think that God himself rejoices. In fact, that may be primarily what's in view here. And why would I say that? Because in the verse there, for example, one of the verses says, in verse 10, it says, "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." I'm not saying necessarily the angels don't rejoice and stuff like that. But here's the thing. This could be reverential statements implicitly about God, because it says before the angels of God. Who's rejoicing before the angels of God? Maybe that's God himself. And how awesome is that? We can bring joy to the heart of God himself. Will you rejoice in what heaven rejoices? And secondly and lastly, will you be a cause for heaven's joy? We can actually cause joy in heaven. And there's 2 ways. One, you can repent. Maybe you've been wandering, and you know God wants to draw you back. What are you waiting for? Jesus is the kind of one who receives sinners. He goes and rescues sinners. What are you waiting for? Maybe you've never crossed the line of faith. You've never put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never come to a point in your life where you crossed that line of repentance. What are you waiting for? Come and see me or one of our pastors after the service. We're going to have some folks praying in room 118 across the hall. You can come and see them, and they can take you through the plan of salvation. And then we all, if you know Jesus, we can cause joy in heaven because we can seek the lost, can't we? We can join Jesus on mission. He says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." We can't save them. He's the only Savior, but we can introduce people to Jesus that they may receive him, that they may repent and be saved. We can do that. We know in view of Matthew 28 that there is a mission for us. In fact, last week I introduced our church visual. I think we got a copy of it here again on the screen that we can get. And we talked about how we're a church on mission based on Matthew 28. Each dot in that arrow represents an individual Christian, but when we do things together, we're better together. And it means we're a community moving forward on mission together. And the cool thing in view of Matthew 28 is that includes baptizing. And so that's what we're going to do in a moment here. And may what we do here at Trinity as we pursue our mission, and may what we do here this morning as we celebrate the kinds of things that heaven celebrates, as we celebrate these individuals, may we know that the Lord rejoices, and may we feel that joy together as we pursue the same mission that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Let's pray.